Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship, the hour of power right now as we go into this lesson about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking today about faith, and continuing that from yesterday. We pray, Lord, that you give us both speakers and hearers, inspiration and understanding. And we declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be even on here this morning in the name of Jesus. An afternoon for those who are there. It is well with us as we go into the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let me get to this. I'm excited and to bring you a continuation of this faith lesson among the fruit of the Spirit. And let's see if we can try to finish it out today. Like I said yesterday, the subject of faith, for me, I can speak on it for days. But we have to try to make it concise and just encapsulate everything in just an hour here, an hour there. See what we can do to finish it up. Our memory verse that led to this is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. So when we started, we covered love, we covered joy, peace, we covered long-suffering as well. And we did a review of those three. Then we covered gentleness, goodness, and faith. We are in faith right now. We covered part one of faith. We did long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. We did a review of that. Now we are in faith, meekness, and temperance. So faith, yesterday, part one, we covered some on faith. Faith, of course, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. An acronym that I presented yesterday, fully and intentionally trusting Him, F-A-I-T-H. And we talked about being intentional, about the things of God. There's something I want to say also about that this morning as we go into part two of this faith lesson. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, it talks about the word of God. You know, you got to do it. You got to take it the way it is. You can't change it. Can't do anything to it. If you change it, you're going to be, might be in trouble. You know, so turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. And you'll be surprised that something like this is in the book of that chapter, 30 of Proverbs, but it is there. And, you know, this is one thing that I want to call out today at the beginning of this lesson, that we must not change His words. The fully and intentional part means you do it as He says it. You know, every word of God is pure, He says. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add not to His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. So don't do it. You stay right there with it. You do it. You say it as He says it. And you do it as He says it. We'll talk more about that in today's lesson. But I wanted to put that out there as a background for us today. Now, faith sees the promises of God afar off, we said yesterday, and believing, and, gets you there. So believing is more like, it's really faith in action. So we see also that Hebrews defines faith as, you know, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence, you know, that's what you got to show for it. The evidence of things you have not yet seen. So you can collapse that into saying, by saying, faith is the evidence of what you hope for. You know, you're hoping for it because you don't have it yet, but your faith is the evidence that you have it. You know, that's how you do it. Praise the Lord. So we talked about some of those things yesterday. And I want to continue this lesson. Faith, one question we asked yesterday is, where does faith come from? The Bible says, well, faith comes from hearing the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. I'm just doing a quick review from yesterday. Everybody also has been dealt a measure of faith. We talked about that. Everybody has faith. You know, one way or another for something, even if we don't realize it is faith. You know, Romans 12 and 3. And we can discover faith, even in things around us. You know, Romans 12 and 3. And why is faith so important? Because the Bible says that it is impossible, you know, to please him without faith. And we know that we're created for his pleasure. Revelations 4, 10 and 11. All things are created for his pleasure, you know, but we can't please him if we don't have faith. Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that. Now, you know, we must realize, though, that, you know, the faith that pleases God must be based on the Word of God. So we're going to today's lesson now. You know, faith must be based on the Word of God. One thing also we spoke about yesterday is that different kinds of faith, and I will talk a little more about that today. The different kinds of faith, you know, there's little faith, and Jesus wasn't, you know, impressed and rebuked the disciples. He called it little, sometimes he called it no faith at all. And then there was great faith that he was impressed about. We gave examples of the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion that had great faith. The Syrophoenician woman, the element that we see in her story was the tenacity. She would not give up, no matter, you know, what was thrown in her face. She just wouldn't. And she found a way to cling to the Word of God and find something that she can use. And, you know, she got what she wanted. In the case of the centurion, we see that his was that, you know, his own was just pure, you know, I mean, point blank. I just take the Word of God as it is. That, you know, he used his own experience to say, look, when we commanders say things, people just do it. They don't question it. So that was his own position. He just used that to, and Jesus called both of these examples great faith. You know, so the Lord is interested in great faith. Doesn't like the little faith or no faith at all. Now you say, how do I grow my faith? Well, the disciples asked him that also. You know, how do we grow our faith? They asked Jesus. Well, Jesus said, well, the way to grow your faith is use it. He said, if you have faith as little as this mustard seed, you can actually do great things with it. So use what you already got. One thing about faith, which is the currency of the spiritual realm, is that the more you use it, the more you have. Quite unlike, you know, money in our own realm, the natural realm here. The more you use the money you have, the less you have if you are not getting more in. But on faith, when you use it, it actually increases. Because now you have experience and you've seen how it works. You get better at it, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, we talked about triple action faith yesterday, ask, seek, and knock, you know, and that we must not give up when we're praying and you stay right there and don't give the Lord a rest and so on. But you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, James chapter 1 tells us that, verses 6 to 8. You know, if you lack wisdom, initially he said, ask of God. Well, if you lack anything, ask of God. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like one that's, you know, tossed up and down, wind, you know, just tossed like that. And let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. So you must ask in faith, you know, but today I want to talk about, well, what is really faith? You know, how do you know you are asking in faith? You know, that's the part of the lesson I want to bring today. And it goes back to the Word of God. You cannot just have faith in faith. You got to have faith in the Word of God. In order for faith to be valid, it's got to be based on the Word of God. Now, Lamentation 3 and 37, we have quoted this many, many times on this platform. Lamentation 3, 37 say, who is it that saith anything and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? You know, so you can't just go out there and just be saying things which God hasn't commanded and expect God to back it up. God only backs up his word. Now, if you say what his word says, then you're good. You know, so that's the fully and intentional part. You know, but you got to know what the word of God says. Okay? You got to know what the word of God says. Now, before I get into describing step-by-step lessons of faith, some of you have heard some of it before, I want to talk about what you do when, you know, you're believing God for something. We've said, stay right there. Don't doubt, no matter how long it takes. You know, stay with it. Well, what do you do? Well, you know, in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3, we're told, he said, look, the vision may be for an appointed time. You may be praying and it may, you know, the, you know, maybe the answer is, it's coming, but you don't get it yet. So what do? Well, I say, wait for it. You know, say, wait, because it will not tarry long. Even if it looks like it's starting, still wait for it. You know, so that's what you do. You got to wait for it. Praise the Lord. But you got to be expectant when you're waiting for it. You got to be in expectation. Now, faith works with expectation. You can't be saying, you know, you're believing God for something, but you're not expecting it to happen. Now, what kind of faith is that? Praise God. You know, so you got to believe God. You know, I once read a story. There was a small congregation somewhere, you know, a little town or something. And, you know, there was a time they were gathering together. They didn't have rain. They're gathering together. And they're praying that, Lord, you send them rain and so forth. And so, you know, the next prayer meeting they called, they were going to gather together to for God to have them, send them rain. And so they came and there was this little boy of all the congregation. It was a true story, but I can't verify it, but I read it. But of all the congregation, there was this little boy and he came into that prayer meeting and he brought an umbrella. And, everybody look at him and say, what'd you bring an umbrella for? You know, we're praying for rain. He say, yeah, we're praying for rain. So I brought an umbrella because I'm expecting it to rain. Hallelujah. See, that's how you do it. You know, and it was just a little boy. I don't know what they said his age was, maybe six or so or something. I mean, it's all the adults that were in there. None of them even thought like that. They were gathering together to pray for rain, but nobody brought any umbrella because they were not expecting it to rain. But this one boy said, well, we're praying for rain, are we not? He said, well, yeah. So I brought an umbrella because I'm expecting it to rain. That's right. So that's how expectation works with your faith. And your faith with faith for something, actually be expecting the thing to happen. Don't be praying and not expecting it. What kind of faith is that? You know, so, but, and then also wait for it. And trust in the Lord and wait for it. I mean, don't be like, you know, don't be like the children of Israel. They couldn't wait. You know, the Lord has promised us that it will not tarry. In fact, these promises that God has given us lately, I want to give you a couple of verses about that. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28 tells you that, look, my word shall no longer be delayed. But, you know, it will be quickened and it will come to pass quickly. You know, the people were always saying, well, the vision is what happened. When a prophet tells them something in the name of the Lord, they said, well, you know, it's speaking of times in the future and times to come. You know, but we don't see these things happening. So the people were discouraged and they were always using this proverb that, you know, well, it's for a long time. So the Lord had to come in there and say, look, it's not for a long time anymore. My words shall no longer be delayed. But the words that I've spoken to you will now be done, saith the Lord. In your time I've spoken it, and in your time will it be done. You know, Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28. So that tells you that it's coming. But you got to stay right there. Now, whatever you do when you are waiting for the word of God to come to pass, don't do like the children of Israel did. The children of Israel, they couldn't wait for for the word of the Lord. So they turned to what we call the golden calf. There's a story in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1. And it says, you know, while Moses was gone to receive the word of the Lord, these people could not wait for the word of the Lord. You know, so that's even significant. The word of the Lord is coming, but they couldn't wait. And they said, well, you know, as for this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. You know, so right now, we're going to turn our hearts to the golden calf. And they ended up with a golden calf. You know, make us gods to go before us. Can you imagine that? I mean, all the things that God has done, the power, the glory, and everything that God has shown, you know, the signs and wonders he showed in the land of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, incredible things. And all the things that God had done for them. And yet now, just because Moses was gone for 40 days, they said, well, we don't know. Maybe something evil has happened to him. And, you know, of course, the reason was because they themselves did not have any relationship with God. You know, and God told them in Exodus 19, you know, that I want you to be a kingdom of priests, verses 6, 5 and 6. I'm choosing you. They said, well, at first they said, we'll do it, but later they said, we can't do it. Well, because they did not want to hear God's voice in Exodus 20. They said, Moses, you go hear it and come tell it to us. We can't do it. We can't hear the voice of God. So they chose not to develop a relationship themselves with God, even though that's what God was asking them to do. So now when they are medium, see, Moses was a medium unto them. Somebody that would go and hear from God and come and tell it to them. So when their medium was no longer there, they couldn't hear from God, you know, and they turned quickly to the golden calf. Now, that's one thing you must never, number one, everybody must develop a relationship directly with God. You don't need a pastor, prophet, apostle, or any go-between. You go directly to God yourself. You can hear from God just like anybody else. If you don't know, we can be trained to hear from God. Samuel was trained by Eli, you know, and that, you know, that's God, you know, talking to you. We can be trained, but you need to want to hear from God directly. Most people don't want that. They just want somebody else to tell them what God is saying. Well, you got to pay the price to stay in his presence, to want to hear from him. Now, if you're always depending on somebody else to tell you the word of God, then one day when that somebody else is not there, you might turn to the golden calf, just like these people. They started looking for some other alternative to God because they didn't know how to hear from God directly themselves. And that's the last thing you want to do. I mean, that's a thing you never want to do. Let me put it that way. You must never turn away from, you know, staying right there with the word of God. Don't turn to anything else. Don't turn to anything else. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2 and verse 13, the Lord rebuked the people for turning away from him. You know, he said, my people have committed two great evils, you know, in this thing. They've turned away from me. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they've gone out to hew to themselves cisterns that can't hold any water. They're going to turn to the golden calf instead of staying with the word of God. Now, so, but real faith will stay right there. Stay right there, you know, until you see it happen. Praise the Lord. So now let's talk some more about yesterday. We talked briefly about faith blockers, but let's talk about faith helpers today. The faith blockers that we talked about yesterday were doubt and fear. We gave the story of the disciples who were fearful when they were in the boat and the tempest arose against the boat and the waters beat against the boat and came into the boat and so forth. They were fearful. That story is in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus, you know, when they woke him up, he rebuked the storm and he rebuked the disciples as well. Why are you so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? Mark chapter 4 verse 40. So you can see that their fear was a faith blocker. Now, fear and unbelief and all of these things can be faith blockers. You know, fear was the same thing that was a faith blocker in the story of the spies in Numbers 13 and 14 that were sent to go and spy out the land. You know, they looked at the people. They said, well, these people are giants and we are like grasshoppers. You know, they will consume us. So they were afraid, you know, and it blocked their faith. You know, as a couple of them, though, that were strong in faith, you know, so faith, I mean, fear could be a serious faith blocker. And of course, it leads to unbelief, you know, and so forth. But Jesus wants us to be confident in the word of the Lord. Fear not, he always said, you know, I am with you. Don't be afraid. Now, we've talked about faith blockers. Let's talk about faith helpers. Now, what are the things that can help your faith? Since we're on the subject of faith, you know, how do you grow your faith? We've talked about that. You know, what do you do when you're waiting? We've talked about that. Well, you know, how do you recognize faith blockers? Well, we've talked about a couple of them. You know, discouraging tales and different things and looking away from the word of God and keeping your eyes on Jesus. I mean, to take away your eyes from Jesus and look to the storm. We looked at that story yesterday, Matthew chapter 14, when Peter stepped out of the boat. At first, kept his eyes on the Lord. Then later he looked around and saw the storms and he was afraid. You know, so those are the faith blockers. And let's talk about faith helpers. The book of Hebrews is a great place to learn faith helpers. There are many stories. This subject of faith is so important that God devoted this whole chapter to it. 40 verses, all devoted to the subject of faith. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, you know, and so on and so forth. I mean, it is in that same chapter we found out that it is impossible to please the Lord without faith. It is in that same chapter we found out the story of Noah. Noah, by faith, being warned of God of things to come, moved with fear and built an ark to the saving of his household, by the which condemned the whole world. You know, so we learned there's something really important that, you know, God will always have a remnant that will believe God. And the moment one person believes God, and he will always have at least one that will believe him, then he condemns all the others. I don't believe. You know, in fact, we're told that, you know, they believe, those that believe on the Lord Jesus, they have eternal life. And those that do not believe, they're condemned already because they have not believed the only Son of God. So the moment that somebody believes, then everybody else is condemned that does not believe. And God will always make sure that he never leaves himself without a witness. He will always have somebody that will believe the Lord. And sometimes he has a whole lot more than we think. You know, one time Elijah thought he was the only one left, but God told him no. I've got 7,000 knees that I've not bowed to Baal. And so Elijah didn't know it, but God knew it. You know, now Noah, the moment he believed God, he condemned the rest of the world. So that is important for us to know that and keep that in mind. Now, faith helps us when we read the word of God. That's a faith helper. Because that's where the word actually comes in. You know, when we pray, you know, and use the word of God in prayer, not just praying some random stuff, but using the word of God in prayer, that's a faith helper. And then, you know, the elements to practicing your faith from the time that you are asking until the time you realize it, you learn the steps of getting there. And I call those faith helpers as well. And I've taught that many times on this platform, what I call the faith specs. Many of you have heard it before. If you're new and you haven't heard it, well, you're going to hear it today. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in this same chapter, when you get to verse 13, you'll find the faith specs there. that I talked about from time to time. In that verse, it talked about the experience of people in the past that had a promise from God, but what they did even when they didn't have that promise and how they kept on going. So let's read Hebrews 11 and 13. It's a very pivotal scripture on the subject of faith, the way the Lord showed me many, many, many years ago, and I've been teaching from it since then. Hebrews 11 and 13. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. You know, that was a promise that, you know, you're going to a better place. But they died in faith, not having received the promise. But having seen the promises afar off, were persuaded of those promises and embraced those promises and confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. They are going somewhere. For they that declare such things plainly say that they are looking for country, a better place. So I picked four words out of that verse 13. See, the promise afar off, S. P, mean persuaded of them. E, embrace. And C, confess. So that's where I come up with my faith specs. Now those are your faith helpers. It starts with the word of God. Just like we said, you can't just go out be saying something if the Lord has not commanded it. Lamentation 3:37. So you start with the word of God. You do your research. See what God has already said about the thing. If he hasn't said it, don't waste your time praying about it. You know, figure out what he has said. Now, you can save yourself a lot of time by, you know, first finding out what God has said. And if you know what God has said, then you say what God has said. Now, that's the quickest path to the answer for your prayer. That's a faith helper. You start with a promise. You see the promise afar off. Well, faith sees it afar off. That's the S for the see the promise. See the promise also, the S also means search the scriptures to find a promise. You need healing. Tons of scriptures in this Bible about healing. So find one of them and latch onto it. And we do these things at times we call Faith Lab, where I challenge people to do just that. Find the scripture, use it, latch onto it. And you know, you do it enough, you don't even think that that's what you're doing. It's become part of you. You know, many people have learned to pray the scriptures. That's how you do it. Those are faith helpers. You pray the scriptures. You speak the scriptures. Don't speak your own mind. You just speak the scriptures. You pray the scriptures. That's the first part of it. Then the persuade part is you gotta know beyond a shadow of doubt that God is able to back that promise off. That's the persuaded. These people are persuaded. You know, you can't be wishy-washy when we are asking. You know, James said, you're not going to get anything. When we're asking something from God, you can't do it. You got to be persuaded. The best story of that persuasion that I've seen is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. You know, here's what they said to him, to the Nebuchadnezzar, who told them, look, I've heard that you guys will not bow down when you hear my music. Is it true? I'll give you one last chance under the penalty of death. If you bow, then all's good. If you don't, then we are going to throw you into the fire, you know, and so on. Well, so these folks, these young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16, they answered and said to the king, because he challenged them. He said, look, who is that God that is able to deliver you out of my hands? Now, be careful now. When you say that, God will show you one or two things, you know. So you challenge God. But these people, listen to the answer. They said, look, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. This is not something we need to go and think about. We have our answer already. You know, if it be so, you know, if you're going to, you know, make us, you know, choose between God and whatever decree you put out, well, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to
to deliver us. Now they put it out there. Our God is able to deliver us and he will deliver us. That's it. That's the persuasion. These people were persuaded. It's not our God whom we serve is able to deliver us and maybe he will deliver us. No, they said he will deliver us. They put it out there. You know, that part of it is non-negotiable. That's a big time faith helper. That's non-negotiable. You got to stay right there with it and don't move an inch. You know God is able and you know he's going to do it. Now, of course, faith helper in their own situation also, they said, look, these people were sold out. They said, look, even if for whatever reason, we know he's able and we know he's going to do it, but let's just assume that he doesn't do it for whatever reason, best known to him, not because he couldn't do it. We still will not bow. Now, upon hearing that, I mean, it was like defiance. The king was furious. And he asked them to hit up the thing 7 times. You know the rest of the story. You know, but that's persuasion. They were persuaded that God was able to do it. Well, the Bible tells us that Abraham was persuaded, you know, that God who promised him something was able to do it. You can read about Abraham's persuasion in the book of Romans chapter 4. You know, it says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but he was, you know, he did staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's, you know, verse 20 of Romans 4. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he also was able to perform. So that's a persuasion. You got to be fully persuaded. That's a faith helper. What's the next faith helper? You got to embrace that persuasion for your particular situation. That's the difference. When we are persuaded that God is able to do something, or at least in our subconscious, we believe that he's able to do everything. Most believers do that. But when it comes to when the rubber meets the road, and in that particular situation at hand, we struggle. Well, that means you have not embraced it. And with the best story of that is what we see in, you know, John chapter 11. That's the best illustration of that story. In John chapter 11, the story of Jesus at the grave of, you know, Lazarus and all of that, you know, and when Jesus came there finally, after Lazarus was dead and buried, 4 days passed now, Martha meets him and says, well, Lord, if you would have been here when my brother was sick, he would not have died. You know, we called for you then, you didn't come. Now he's dead and buried. Now you show up. And Jesus wanted to teach his disciples something. He said, well, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Let's go and show you something. You know, so, and this lady, Martha, stood right there wondering why he's coming now after the man is so dead and buried. You could have been here. You could have healed him and he would not have died. And Jesus says to her, you know, she says, look, if you can only believe, you will see the glory of God. And then he asked her something. He said, also said to her, thy brother shall rise again. You know, thy brother shall rise again. Jesus said that to her in John 11 and 23. Your brother will rise again. And Martha said, well, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection, the last day. And Jesus said, I'm not talking about that one. I am that resurrection, but that's not what I'm talking about here. You know, and then he tells us something that is unbelievable. I remember yesterday we talked about believing the unbelievable in order for you to, you know, obtain the impossible. Now, this was unbelievable. Nobody ever seen it. That's why Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there so you can see something that you've not seen before. Now let's go. It's never been done. Nobody's ever seen it. They call somebody out of the grave after 4 days being buried. But Jesus is telling Martha, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Well, that this was more than just that one statement. But do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life, and call your brother out of that grave? Martha could not wrap her mind around that one, even though she believed that God can do all things. Because in fact, she said to Jesus, well, you know, you should have been here when my brother was sick. You're not here. But anyway, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, you can do it. Well, she knew that. Her belief system had taught her that people will have resurrection. She knew that. You know, and sometimes the negative belief system can be a faith blocker. You know, a negative belief system or the not so accurate, you know, that's a dangerous thing when things look right, but they're not very accurate. You know, her not so accurate belief system, you know, was that, well, God can raise the dead, but that's only in the resurrection. That was her belief system. So everything that Jesus was saying, she was saying, yeah, you know, I know my brother will rise again and so forth. And Jesus is trying to bring her attention to the moment, but she's talking about something else, you know. And, you know, so, you know, she said, well, do you believe this? And so forth. She said, well, you know, yeah, I know he will rise in the resurrection and all these things and so on. Yeah. So she could not wrap and bring herself. She could not embrace this belief of the resurrection for the moment. It was something future. So that's the difference between being persuaded that God can do it and actually embracing it for the moment that you are in. See, that's the difference. She didn't embrace it. But the mercy of God, because Jesus wanted to show the disciples anyway, that whether somebody is in the grave or whatever, didn't make any difference to him. So he overruled, you know, that lack of faith and that lack of understanding. I called Lazarus out of there anyway. You know the story. But you can see how she did not embrace that. She was thinking everything Jesus was saying, she was thinking something else. You know, you can't embrace it for the moment, then you may not get it. But embracing it for the moment is a faith helper. The last faith helper in that Hebrews 11:13 is confession. That's a C. They confessed it. You know, what you believe, you got to confess it. The best story of that I can see in the Bible is Abraham. When God gave him the promise, he actually changed his name. Now, you might say God told him the new name. Well, yeah, but he changed his name legally. Perhaps told his friends, hey, don't call. They call Abraham, he won't answer anymore. Don't call me that anymore. My name is now Abraham. Because I will be the father of nations. Now, that's a confession for 25 years. Changed his name to prove it. And, you know, it was a subject of ridicule, I guarantee you. Because how are you going to be the father of nations when you don't even have one child? Start with one child already. And show us that you can have one child. Maybe two. And so on. You know, and how in the world are you going to be the father of nations when you don't even have a child? You know, so they ridiculed him. But he stuck to his guns. I will be the father of nations. Change my name. Prove it too. For 25 years, he confessed it. You know, and of course, it came to pass eventually. That's your confession. In the book of Revelation 12 and 11, it says, they overcame the devil, not only with the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of their testimony. That's their confession. They confess the thing before it even happens. They use it as a weapon. They use their confession as a weapon. You know, so that's a faith helper. So when you put the SPEC together, you get my famous faith specs. So that's how you do it. Now, if you haven't heard it before, you heard it now. If you heard it before, you got a refresher. So that's a faith helper. But, you know, that's the only way you start. That's not the end of it. When you are confessing it, but it's not happening, then what? You know, so, you know, I tried to answer that, you know, at the end of yesterday's lesson from a question. But let's look at how Jesus addressed that. There's a story in Mark chapter 11, another famous story, which we've talked about many, many times. In that story, the fig tree that Jesus cursed, and the disciples were amazed. And Jesus said something in Mark 11, 23 and 24. He said something. He said, look, if you can say it, now that's your confession, right? Confessing the word of God. But he now brings in some other lessons behind it. Now, when you say it though, when you say you're confessing it, you can't say it and then doubt it later. You know, so you got to say it, but don't doubt it in your heart. Don't doubt it. When you're confessing it, then don't doubt it. Now, which brings me to the other faith helpers. Now, I put that together in a lesson one time I called The Principles of the Oracles of God. And eventually published a book out of it with the same title. Some of you have that book, Principles of the Oracles of God. And it showed you not only the first four faith specs, but it showed you a few more out of this Mark 11. And said, look, even when you're confessing it, the next faith helper is get rid of the doubt. The Bible calls God, Daniel called God the dissolver of doubts. Well, you got to get rid of that doubt. You must not doubt. Well, how do you not doubt when you're doubting? Well, you just don't doubt. You just do like the centurion. I mean, you look. This man, you can call it indoctrination, whatever. He is so indoctrinated in the ways of the military. He knows that you give a command and that's it. There's no question asked. You do it. Do what your commanding officer says. You know, so our mind has to be trained like that. We have to come to the point where this is what God said. That settles it. That's it. Just don't even try to psychoanalyze the thing. Just leave it alone. Jesus said, look, when you say it, you must not doubt it. That's the next thing. But you must continue to believe. See, faith sees the promise afar off. Believing gets you there. You must continue to believe that those things you said will come to pass. We don't know whether it will come to pass immediately or to take a week, a month, a couple of years, 4 or 5 years, or 25 years. I don't know. But Abraham was saying it for 25 years. I will be the father of nations. You know, people, even some people who are laughing him to scorn, they probably died and he was still there saying the same thing over and over again. I will be the father of nations. You know, I end up going to be the father of nations. But lo and behold, you know, when it started, it came like a flood. Today, you know, they are like, you know, the sands of the sea. Jews are everywhere. And the devil has tried to wipe out that nation many times. The Bible tried to do it. Haman and Esther story. Hitler tried to do it. They are still trying to do it today. You can't do it. You know, God put a blessing on that. You know, so he did become the father of nations. And, you know, they're all over the world. Praise God. Now, you must not doubt it. That's the next thing. You will believe that God, what you said in your heart, God will bring it to pass. And then you'll have it later. Now, we have to recognize that look, it may happen instantaneously. Sometimes it does, most of the time. Immediately, we're told, in the same hour. Many of Jesus' miracles were immediate and the same hour and things like that. But, you know, whether it's immediate or not, whether it's the same hour or not, you got to keep on believing. You know, and then we see another faith helper. Helper, you got to have the positive attitude, you know, with your expectation. And you begin to praise the Lord for it even before you see it. That faith helper, we find that story in the life of Jehovah.
Jehoshaphat, how he began to praise the Lord before he even got the victory. So these are faith helpers, you know, praising the Lord. Now, praising the Lord is a turbo booster for faith. You know, sometimes when faith is gone as far as it could, or you kick it into higher gear of praise. It's called a faith helper. You praise the Lord. Even though you don't see the thing, you praise the Lord already. So these are faith helpers. So whereas the fear, unbelief, and all these things, you know, are blockers, well, these things we talk about are faith helpers. Let me talk to you about another faith blocker or prayer blocker. You'll find it in Mark 11, verse 25. Most people don't read that far. When we quote this, say to the mountain, do this, and it'll come to pass. You know, and whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. I mean, Jesus actually said, what things soever you desire. You know. What things soever you desire. Well, I say, well, it's got to be according to the word of God. We know that. But what things soever you desire when you pray. You know, so faith is now, at the time you praise, when you believe, then you leave the results to whenever it will happen. When you pray, believe, and you shall have whatsoever you can say and believe it. You know, you can have it, you know, but you must believe it at the time of prayer. Well, but then you got to read the next verse, which is verse 25. And I want everybody to turn, if you have your Bible and you're in a position, you can read it. Read it. Verse 25 of Mark 11. This is a, you know, one of the most difficult faith blockers or prayer blockers that people don't even know about that exists, but it's there. And Jesus thought about it many, many times, you know. So out of that, we're also going to show a faith helper. Now, a faith blocker or results blocker is given to us here in Mark 11, 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. Now, that's the helper. Forgiveness is a faith helper. But the unforgiveness is a faith blocker. Jesus said, look, you can do all these wonderful things, but there's a secret. Forgive, you know. Because if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Now, if God's holding something against you, your prayers may not go anywhere. So unforgiveness is a faith blocker and can be a results, a prayer blocker. But forgiveness, hallelujah. Forgiveness, compassion, you know, I mean, showing mercy to others is a faith booster. It's a faith helper. Praise the Lord. So, as you have opportunity, show mercy. Jesus told a story in Matthew 18. A servant that owed hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, and when he couldn't pay, the master wanted to throw him into prison. He said, well, throw him into prison because he can't pay. And the man begged and asked for mercy. Give me time. I will pay all. And his words touched the heart of the master. He said, okay, I'll give you time. You know, I know you'll be good for it. Okay, well, go do all you can and pay me where you can. But pay me because you said you will. He said, I will. And he thanked him and went away. And then he turned around and found one of his own fellow servants. They both reported to the same master that owed him a fraction, a minute fraction of what he owed. Now, consider the $100,000 that he owed, and this man owed him just a quarter. That's the magnitude of the difference. And, you know, or maybe even a dollar at the most. And he grabbed the man by the neck. He said, pay me what you owe. And the man begged him, just the same way that he begged. And he said, no, you got to pay me what you owe. And he got the officers to cast him into prison. This man owed me money I wouldn't pay. And they locked him up until he would pay. And I often wondered about that story. When the man was free and about, ready to walk and able to walk and earn some money when he couldn't pay. Now, when you lock him up and he can't work, He can't earn any money. How is he going to pay? So that means the man's going to be there for the rest of his life. And, you know, and when others, you know, were standing by, they saw and heard what happened. They were grieved. And they looked at this wicked man. Why couldn't you just help your brother? So they went and told the master. And the master said, wow. So he called the man. What is it that I heard that you have done? You know, you owed me all these amount of money and so forth, which you couldn't pay. You begged me, and I had mercy on you. Shouldn't you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had on you? And the man was furious. And he rescinded. Ladies and gentlemen, he rescinded what was already forgiven. The grace that was already granted, he rescinded it. And he said, well, you know, cast him to the tormentors. You know, because he himself would not show mercy. Now, so that is a, you know, unforgiveness, lack of compassion, and all of that stuff can be big time faith blockers. But here are some memory helpers. Blessed are the merciful. That's right. That is called a faith helper. Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about it. Blessed are the merciful. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's a faith helper. You know, sometimes, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, getting our prayers answered is about obtaining mercy. That's what Hebrews 4 and 16 says. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So sometimes our prayers is about mercy. Even sometimes when your faith can't go anywhere, mercy kicks in, and the mercy of God will do it for you anyway. You know, I've seen it. Story of Lazarus right there. You know, Martha was struggling with faith, but the mercy of God kicked in. I have seen it in my life. Now, I'm somebody who, from a young man, thought I had a lot of faith. And maybe I did. You know, but, you know, I used to think I had a lot of faith. When I was even younger, I had faith in my faith. Because I could believe God for anything. It didn't matter to me at all. Later on in life, I started to learn, you know, my faith didn't shake. It's not that my faith got less, but I understood better. It's not faith in my faith. It's not that my faith was so big, but my God was so big. So I started to learn that it's not your big faith. It is faith in the big God. Hallelujah. You know, and then there were times when, I mean, I would keep believing God for something and it wouldn't happen. And I keep believing. I wouldn't shake my tongue loose. But the mercy of God would just kick in. You know, when the mercy of God kicks in, my goodness, that's a faith helper. That's like a turbo boost faith helper. Praising the Lord is a turbo boost helper. Mercy of God is even above all of that. Remember, the mercy of God is above the ark. The mercy seat was way above the ark. You know, put it above the ark. So this mercy, Hebrews 4:16, come to the throne of grace. You know, blessed are the merciful. That's a great faith helper. Show mercy. When you show mercy and show compassion, you know, God may put things to happen for you that have been blocked. Now, blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 9. For they shall be called the children of God. Now, children of God, they are the ones that have access to healing. That's children's bread. You know, when you make peace, that's a faith helper. You make peace. You be peaceable. Now, we talked about peace before. Be peaceable. Make peace as much as like, just be peace. Look, when you are doing that, there's a label that God puts on you. Child of God. And when you're a child of God, you have access to so many things, you know, just by making peace. So when we are peaceable, when we are merciful, these are faith helpers, you know. So those are the things I wanted to bring out today. Let me see if I can wrap up this lesson, because faith is a subject that you really can't finish. Now, I've talked about many things today. I've talked about faith specs. I've talked about the oracles or the principles of God. If you want that book, you can reach out to me later how you can get it. Now I want to talk about, something else, which is powerful, on regarding faith. Jesus taught the disciples that, but I want to call it super faith. How do you do it? I alluded to it briefly before, but before I close this, let me read something to you from the scriptures about super faith. How do you, because there's all kinds of faith. There's little faith, no faith, great faith, all these things. How do you develop super faith? How do you become a subject matter expert on the subject of faith? How do you do it? Well, Jesus says, there's a story in Luke chapter 17. Let's read it together. This is the last point I want to raise today. Luke 17. Let's read from verse 5. The apostles came to the Lord and said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, evidently, they wanted more faith. And they talked to the Lord about it. They thought in their head that, look, the quantity of faith, increase our faith, either quantity or make it better or whatever, increase our faith. But look at the answer that Jesus gave. He didn't go about telling them, how to increase their faith by doing some other great thing. He said, look, you're talking about increasing your faith. I'll tell you something. If you had faith that was as small as a grain of mustard seed, which is very small, you can say to this, he was looking at a tree. You can see this big sycamore tree, this big oak tree that's right here. If your faith is even as little as this tiny seed, you can say to it, be plucked up from the root, and it'll be plucked up. It'll obey you. My goodness. So now that was a powerful thing he dropped, and he did not go too deep into it, but he left it there. So, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you this. It's not the size of your faith, if you want to say, oh, my faith is as tall as a 100-story building. Look, Jesus said, even little tiny faith, it's hard for you to even see it or measure it. If you use it right, you can use it to accomplish incredible things. Well, it's incredible to say that you can speak to a tree and have it plucked out of the root. But Jesus is talking about pure faith here. Pure faith. You have that pure faith, and many of us are yet to get to that level. Some people actually think that Jesus was only spiritualizing it. You can't really pluck up a tree by the root. You can't really move a mountain. Jesus was talking figuratively. Well, that's what you think. Well, that's because your faith hasn't gotten there yet. If you have that kind of faith, you can do exactly that. So you must know that God wants us to use our faith. Use your faith. Use your faith. Use your faith. But do it according to the word of God, and do it like he instructs you. That's the intentional part. Fully, I have no doubt, but you do it intentionally. If he tells you, sit the people down in 50s and this and this and this, then you do it exactly like that. If he tells you, go to the lake, cast your hook and catch a fish, you do it exactly like that. If you do it any way differently, you will not get the results. So do it like he instructs. The Holy Spirit is there to instruct us. We got to learn to instruct us. When David said, should I go? And pursued, the Lord said, go. He pursued. Next time, should I go? The Lord said, no. Wait until you hear the moving of the Spirit on top of the mulberries and go this way and come around that way. I'm going to show you the strategy. Well, he did it that way and he got the victory. If he had done it differently, he would not get the victory. So that's the intentional part. You do like the word says. And the prophet says, what do you have? So I only got a pot of oil. So, well, do this. Shut the door, get some pots and pour out. You know, and when one is full, set it aside. Pour out to the next. If you do it differently, it won't happen. But if you do it exactly like he said, you get the results. And so she went and did exactly like the prophet said. Got her sons to go and borrow the vessels. She locked herself in the room, just like the prophet said. Bring me a vessel one at a time, just like the prophet said. You know, and she poured it in and said, bring me another one. And just said, and it was working. Just like the prophet said, or just like the word. Let's not focus on the prophet. Just like the word said. So, you got to do the intentional about the word of God. And that means also finding the condition that is behind it. That's how you grow your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, there are conditions behind many of these promises. Conditions. Some promise might say, if. Now, that's a condition. That's actually a premise. I call it premises to the promise. That may be a premise. If you abide in me, John chapter 15, verse 7, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you will. So you should already see a big if there. Those are the, you know, some of the greatest faith helpers. Finding, you know, while you are finding that promise to latch onto, see whether there is also an if behind it. Exodus 15 and 26. If you obey my voice, keep my commandments, follow my statutes, do all of these things, then I will remove all these sicknesses from you, for I am the Lord that healed you. That's a big if. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall do these things and so forth, then I will heal their land, forgive their sins. That's a big if. There's always a lot of, you know, something behind it. Those are faith helpers. Check for the faith helpers. Align yourself with the word of God and align with faith helpers, and your faith will be growing. Praise the Lord. Well, let me leave it there for today. Praise the Lord. Always long on these lessons of faith, but I think I wrapped it up. I'll leave the rest to, you know, follow-ups from comments and so forth, but I think I'm done with this lesson. We're going to leave it there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room and leave it there. Next time, we're going to go to the meekness and after that, temperance, and wrap it up. So that's our lesson for today. Remember, there are faith blockers and there are faith helpers. First of your faith helpers is to go to the word of God and do the things that he said. Persuade yourself that God's able to do it. Embrace it for the situation you are in. Start to confess it. But follow that with, you know, a determined faith. In fact, be dogmatic that you are not going to doubt what you are saying. Don't doubt it. Just leave it. You say it, leave it. Don't doubt it. You know, and it'll come to pass. Sometimes you need to put praise in the Lord with it. These are all faith helpers. You know, and then check your heart, see if there's any malice or things or unforgiveness and so forth. Because when you stand praying, forgive. If you don't, God may not forgive you. And then look for these other things that we just spoke about. You know, see if you can have mercy, see if you have compassion, you know, on people. And then see if there is a condition to that promise. Praise the Lord. Many, many conditions. Those are your faith helpers. Now, do you now understand these things Jesus asked them? I pray for understanding. Father, I thank you, Lord. We have given your word. You promised and you said it. You declared it in your word. The entrance of your word gives light. And it brings in light and gives understanding. Lord, we are not the wayside hearers of the word that hear the word and understand nothing and then the birds of the air come and pick it. But we have understanding. Hallelujah. Lord, these are your people and they have understanding. Paul says, I speak unto wise men. You know, consider what I say. Now, we have considered the word of God today. We pray that this word would bring us understanding, give light to our situation. Help us to identify the faith blockers and get them out of there. And help us to see what the faith helpers are and use them to boost our faith. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. We know that we cannot please you without faith. And now today we have learned more about faith. We want to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Help us also to be merciful, to show mercy and compassion to others, have forgiveness and remove all the things that can block our faith. And we give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory. From faith to faith and from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.